It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist a life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
Oh, what's up?
What's up? What's up? What's up?
That's awesome.
All right. Listen, man. Listen, we can't teach old dogs new tricks.
You're a great coach, bro. Look at you, man.
listen. That was just me taking you by the hand and walking aside with you.
That's right.
Noble, listen, I am so delighted to have you on today. Listen, everyone. Hey, let me go ahead and give you guys an intro. This is Nate Scott with Life is Rich podcast with Nate Scott, coming to you live from Jacksonville, Florida. Listen, this is a very, very special day for me, and I'm delighted to be able to bring to you guys a classmate of mine. But let me go ahead and get the stage set. Life is Rich. His foundation built on Matthew 6:33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness." And then there's the promise that all things thereafter shall be added unto you. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. I based that off of the experience that I had as a 19-year-old walking the perimeter during Operation Desert Storm, when I said, "Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I will never waste a day of my life." And that's my vow that I took that has propelled me for the rest of my life. And everything that I do is strictly on ensuring that I'm an instrument for God's purposes. And I'm delighted today to be able to bring to you guys a very special subject that I know needs to be brought forward a lot more right now. And I'm delighted to know that I have a close friend, classmate, someone that I have respect for, that is specializing in this area. You see, Noble Givens is a person you least expect to be talking about feelings and emotions. An uncharacteristic fight with his wife a few years ago revealed a glaring issue. He was clueless when it came to handling his emotions. This West Point graduate and former infantry officer in the United States Army is now an EQ practitioner and teaches emotional intelligence on his 5-star rated podcast, EQ Gangster. In his EQ Mafia membership and through corporate coaching and consulting, don't let the big beard and tattoos fool you. Noble is pure positive energy and passion. He brings 23 years of experience as an entrepreneur and international keynote speaker to help corporate clients, entrepreneurs, leaders, and influencers get their emotions working for them, not against them. But Life is Rich, you know that I teach how to think versus what to think. It's a principle-centered, biblically-based program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship, specifically addressing the fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring and facing a cash flow danger. That 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 in retirement. That 47% of people say if they had a $400 emergency, they'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it. And 68% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. It's about how to think versus what to think. Thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. And that's why this subject today is going to be fire. So to that end, Nomo, what's good, my brother?
Man, great to see you, bro. Man, that was a great intro, man. It's great to see you.
And it's been a long time.
Long time. That's right, brother. That's right.
We just celebrated our 25th anniversary from West Point.
That's right.
So, man, so talk to me. I would love for you just to go ahead and just talk to me about what has been going on with you. Give me the backstory, and then we'll get into your subject matter expertise. But I want to hear what's been going on with Noble Givens.
Yeah, so you know, what kind of started us into this journey. So we're serial entrepreneurs, right? We've probably been a part of 10, 11, 12 different startup businesses. Many of those have failed. Some of them have been successful. This is our most recent entrepreneurial endeavor. You know, I was able to, so I'll start kind of back. So we all get our emotional foundation from our childhoods. Lottie, daddy, everybody. good, whether you Leave It to Beaver childhood or Jerry Springer childhood, either way, we all get our emotional foundation from our childhood. For me, and I love my folks, so I'm not trying to bust on my folks, this was a particular area that they were not super dialed in on. My dad, and he's since died about 13 years ago, but mom's still around. She's an amazing mom and everything. But this area, they just, you can't teach what you don't know. And so I never learned about emotions and feelings and all that kind of stuff. So I learned how to stuff and avoid as a kid. And then that carried, obviously, at West Point, we weren't talking about feelings and emotions. Ranger school, airborne school, we're not talking about feelings and emotions. Infantry officer. And then even in the business, I wasn't talking about feelings and emotions. And so 4 or 5 years ago, got in a fight with my wife. And then also, so two things happened simultaneously, but they were unrelated. So one, I yelled at my wife 3 times in 3 weeks. And she said three things. Number one, don't ever do it again. Number two, you've never done this before, which means number three, you got more issues than Time Magazine. So but in parallel to that, what happened was we were running a successful business team for a number of years. And I came across a big narcissist. Didn't know what narcissism was, never kind of experienced one before, because I've been emotionally clueless my whole life. So I had no emotional awareness until having a very intimate experience with this guy and along with a lot of other people, and, you know, very controlling, manipulating, using fear, shame, guilt, control to lead and influence. Just really, it was not a pleasant experience. And so that happened simultaneously when I kind of yelled at my wife. We're kind of going through both those at the same time. Went to counseling. Counselor introduced me to feelings and emotions. Didn't know what it was. Never been aware of it before. And started a very intentional emotional growth journey. And 2 years into my very intentional emotional fitness program, all these different areas of my life started to change. And for the better, started growing and improve my faith, my relationship with the Lord, my marriage, my parenting, my finances, my fitness, our business, all these areas started to change. I'm like, man, has all this stuff been stuck like Chuck because of my emotional dysfunction? I'm like, babe, I got to start a podcast sharing my lessons learned of from being emotionally clueless and now starting kind of on my own emotional growth journey, because I can't be the only emotionally clueless guy out there, right? There's got to be other nobles out there. And that kind of started the whole journey with where, you know, kind of where we're at today.
Wow. And I see, I relate from the vantage point of just listening and knowing my work and work that I've done in personal growth and development, but also just truly listening and understanding something as simple as the fact that my dad grew up with his dad. His mom wasn't around. And that in turn created a real bond within my father and his father, which also then passed on to how my father raised me. Though I don't remember when my mom and dad were married, my dad never lived more than 30 minutes away from me. And no conversation that we ever had in which he didn't say, I love you. And so I remember then when, as the oldest sibling of 4 sisters, 3 brothers, he would make sure that I told my siblings, tell your brother, your sister, you love them. And so I think about the foundation of who I am as a result of the relationship that I have with my dad and how that actually translates into my relationship with my children. And so that, recognizing that that's not the norm. Right. It's not the norm of having men communicating in that manner. And it's not normal for men to wrap their arms around one another to talk about those things that may be seen as weaknesses.
Right.
And so I celebrate you for one, having a wife that was able to cause a pause to speak to you, and the fact that you in turn were open and receptive to that pause, because you realized probably by the tonality that this was something that needed to be addressed. And so I celebrate you for that. So let me ask you, what was it leading up to this career change? Prior to the experience with the narcissist, because, man, you got a phenomenal story. You're a phenomenal dad. I love the way that you play full out, and you always have. But we got to get it from, let's talk about, how did you even get to that point? What caused you to be so enthusiastic, and then in turn caused that to translate into your time in the military And then the transition, because I need to know, how did you even make that transition? Somebody like you, someone like me, we didn't stay 20. Right. And I know it was a shocker for everybody. Right. So I look forward to telling you about my story, but I want to hear, how did that come? So pardon me up. What, you graduate from West Point, you go infantry. What happened?
Boom. So I was in the 82nd, rifle PL, platoon leader. And somewhere along that journey, got involved in network marketing, and which I'm a big fan of. You know, if folks, you know, like to do network marketing, I just so what happened was, I entered network marketing very emotionally unhealthy, very emotionally needy, a people pleaser addict, toxic positivity, lots of insecurity, and so self-condemnation, self-hatred, all these different dynamics. And so when I came across this particular opportunity, they you know, I felt very valued and appreciated and stuff. And what happened was, I also had no awareness, and so because of my low EQ and emotional neediness, I ended up performing very, very well because of my people pleasing addiction. I wanted to get my head pat. I wanted to get the Scooby snacks. I wanted to get validated and affirmed by other people, by the people that I had respected, all these big cheeses in business. And so I did very well, but replaced my wife's income at age 27, replaced my income at age 30. So financial independent at age 30, but I did it from a very emotionally unhealthy place, not realizing that the particular team that I was a part of was also very, the organization was very narcissistic and very emotionally unhealthy. Again, I didn't know that. So not only was I on the receiving end of a lot of the control and manipulation and that kind of thing, but I was also, not only was I victim, but I was also abuser, because I had reached some very high levels in business, top 0.001%. And out of, you know, close to a million folks in the organization. And again, this is not a knock on network marketing or any of that, because I think you can do it from an emotionally healthy perspective. That just wasn't my experience, because again, I wasn't emotionally healthy. And a lot of the folks, the particular organization, the culture that my particular organization had that I was a part of was also not very emotionally healthy either. And so, but here we were 30 years old, you know, me 30 years old, financially independent. And ironically, right after that, literally right after that, I went into 2 years of hardcore suicidal tendencies and stuff. And then another decade of depression. And, you know, and so then it wasn't until, you know, probably 5-10 years after that, so which is 5 years ago, that all that stuff happened, where I started to get started my emotional growth journey, emotional healing journey.
Money. That's money. Let me tell you, because see, what you did was, you gave me all the words and the awareness, of course, with the 2020 hindsight, where you now can identify them. And I'm saying to you that what you just now spoke about, I always tell people, you bring whoever you are to whatever you do. You can't be held liable for not knowing what you don't know. But once you are exposed to new information, then you have the responsibility to make the shift. That's two moments that I see right there were life-changing moments. Absolutely. You had a shift of awareness in that instance, and you had a shift in awareness with your wife.
See, absolutely.
Man, so what you just now said, somebody can possibly hold up the mirror now to themselves.
Right.
That's the language right. That you're using is a foreign language to most.
And I've had, you know, since that, and I kind of love how you summarized that. That was a great way to summarize it. Since, you know, so once we started to get emotionally healthy, and realize like, oh snap, I can't believe what I was doing, right? I've had to call up and apologize to all kinds of people because I said, look, man, I'm so sorry. I had no intention or awareness that I was controlling and manipulating and influencing you in these emotionally unhealthy ways. And I've had to ask forgiveness from a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's healthy in itself right there. I mean, think about how healthy it is, not only for yourself, but also for the person on the receiving end that may have been beating themselves up and questioning how they were feeling as a result of that which they're putting forth, that you were putting forth, especially if they have respect for you.
Yeah.
We think about it from the seven halves of how they affected people, and we talk about these different principles. We think about how we have children, and we think about in those moments where we can respond in a certain way because of, again, thinking that well, they're children. So all of a sudden, we're not even aware of how we're communicating, not realizing they're little people. they still, there's a respect factor that has to be mutual. There's some listening that should be taking place, because I say that's where leadership begins. You know, I tell you, the person that you see leading in their family is more than likely going to take that same disposition in attempting to lead other people. Or if they've got other people first before they have children, they end up trying to lead their family like they do in these other, in these other roles.
Sure.
What kind of identity shift did you have to make?
Oh, man, huge. So I got saved when I was a little kid, right? I double dosed the Holy Ghost, man. I got saved early and really pursued a relationship with the Lord. However, because of my emotional neediness and stuff, what I did not realize at the time, but I was like the kid version of a Pharisee and Sadducee. Right? Because I knew all kinds of Bible verses, man. I had a bunch of the New Testament memorized, all this stuff. And so I had my holy robes on, right? I had my little holy gavel, right? And so I, you know, judging this kind of thing. And so, you know, God brought me through that once I went through my hell phase, because I became a Christian that I used to bust their chops. Like, if you're not performing for the Lord, somehow I developed this performance-based relationship with the Lord, which again is not healthy, right? That's not, God loves us regard. We can never earn our salvation or earn our relationship with the Lord, so to speak. And so I would have told you that, well, of course, Nate, man, my identity is in Christ, and you know, 100%, man, my identity is in the Lord. I knew all the church answers to tell you, right? I knew all the Bible answers to tell you, but I was acting and behaving like my identity was found in everyone else around me because of my people-pleasing addiction. Again, I wasn't aware of it, though. Again, if you would have said, Noble, I think you're a people-pleaser and your identity is in people, not in Christ, I'd be like, man, Nate, you don't know what you're talking about, bro. You don't know what you're talking about. You just don't know me. No, it was because I was completely emotionally clueless. And there's a powerful book called Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. I'm sorry, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. The tagline, it's by Pete Scazzaro. The tagline is this: it's impossible to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And that was me for most of my life.
Wow. It's impossible to get spiritually mature when you're emotional insecure.
When you're emotionally immature.
Immature. Wow. Yep. Wow. That right there, guys, if you're listening to that, that right there is something that you want to know. That brings me over to the work that you have to, that you've had to do in order to know yourself. To thine self be true. I saw that you noted your wife's strength finder. My strength finder is strategic, futuristic, responsibility, relator, self-assurance.
That's awesome. Absolutely, man. Not surprised at all, bro. That's awesome. I love it.
If you would, tell them a little bit about that and why you is that a tool that you use?
Oh man, I use it with most of my clients. I've used that StrengthsFinder for probably 15 years now. It's a super powerful tool. Right. So in emotional intelligence, and you know, kind of, you kind of said it there. Emotional intelligence is the ability to acknowledge, identify, process, and manage your own emotions and the emotions of others. One of the older models, kind of the OG model of emotional intelligence, is based on four areas: self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, social management. So self and social awareness and management. And for me, when I start working with a lot of my coaching clients on emotionally intelligent leadership, is starting them with growing their self-awareness. If it's hard to grow and change all these other areas if you can't even recognize your need for growth in those areas. So for me, that is one of my starting points, is helping people become more self-aware. And one of those ways to do that is with personality, some sort of personality assessment. Strengths Finder is another way to kind of help better understand you yourself. Love languages, kind of what, you know, how do you, a lot of times we speak in the language that we like to receive in. So what love language, what are our love languages? So those are some basic tools that I use. And then also I've got access to a scientific psychometric EQ assessment, emotional intelligence assessment, that assesses people, executives that I'm working with, leaders that I'm working with, in 15 different areas of emotional intelligence. So it breaks it out more than just those four general areas. It breaks it down into 15 different areas. And so I use a lot of those tools to help people start to understand how they're wired, some of their tendencies. Now, that awareness is not so that you make excuses for, well, hey, Nate, look, I'm just this particular personality, or this is just my strength, so you just have to deal with my weaknesses. No. The understanding, the increased awareness, is not to use those weaknesses as crutches or excuses for treating people improperly and poorly. It's so that we can be aware of, you know, this, I use a military analogy a lot of times. If I'm talking to military people, it you don't, if you're the nine, are you the 9 mil? Are you the 45? Are you the M240 Bravo? Are you the 105 millimeter, you know, artillery piece? You don't clear a room with a 105, right? So just knowing which weapon system you are is super helpful. Okay, well, if I'm the 105, well, I'm not going to take the 105 in to clear a room. I'm going to be the support by fire guy to help Nate when he goes into the clear that room. I will help provide artillery support for him as he's doing that, right? So it's so important and helpful to understand how you're wired, but then also to know what weapon system is the guy that I'm working with. What weapon system is Nate? Is Nate the 105? Is he the 240, right? So it's super helpful to know not only yourself, but also the people that you're working with.
Yeah, that's exciting for me. I love this. I love that we're able to communicate like that, because it is about the relating. It's the understanding that the same way you just described that is able to be picked up and applied to everything that you're doing. Because first and foremost, again, chapter one of Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth is Leadership is the Answer. The reason I started with that chapter is because that's what one must do. You know, I got introduced to the world of personal growth and development and entrepreneurship in 1996, the week that I graduated from West Point. I went into a room full of happy people. I got exposed to the network marketing industry, but was never drawn into it. That was never my thing. But here's what I did get. At 25, I never knew about picking up books and going to seminars and being around successful people. So I always tell people, take away my West Point degree, engineering and sociology, take away my MBA from George Washington, finance bank from Georgetown. When I learned to pick up books and go to seminars and be around successful people, that's what laid the foundation for everything else I've done in my life, including knowing how to read the Bible as a practical manual. See, I lay out God's word from the vantage point of practical application. Miles Monroe says that knowledge is information, understanding is comprehension, but wisdom is applied knowledge. So as we do that work on ourselves, well, then it's intended for us to take it and then see what we can do in order to move everything else forward, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. You see, because leadership is for everyone. Leadership is for everyone, because everyone that calls themselves a believer, i.e., a Christ follower, then that means that every person that accepts Christ is called to actually influence others. Well, how can you do that without learning about yourself and without learning about other people? There's a humility that has to be in place in order to lead, which means that we've got to be able to listen, and we've got to then be able to process. We've got to be able to accept the new information, and then in turn act accordingly. It's not being soft, it's literally acknowledging what is and then being able to say that's true versus not true and not being defensive, you know. But you can't have that if you haven't put the work on to raise your emotional intelligence. So as I understand, the problem you solve is that you teach leaders how to maximize their capabilities by growing their emotional intelligence. Noble, what does that look like when you go in, and how aware are they? Because I know that's the key point. If you don't even have awareness, then that means you're trying to, you then are coming across as a salesperson. But if you can get awareness, then you can be a consultant. The consultant is invited in. The salesperson is trying to get in. And that's one of the things I try to teach people about. I say, what are you? Are you this or are you that? A lot of times they're trying to force themselves in. So what are you experiencing in the marketplace with the awareness of these leaders that you can see as an external factor that help is needed and you know exactly what to do? How receptive are they to
Yeah, that's a great question, Nate. So it's been fascinating working with a lot of senior leaders and, you know, being able to give them the EQ assessment, because, and it's true with all of us, many of the leaders I work with have stronger areas of emotional intelligence or more engagement of areas of emotional intelligence, but also many, I would say the vast majority of the leaders that I work with also have areas where they have much lower areas of engagement of emotional intelligence. And so, again, the first area that I kind of help them with is growing their self-awareness. There's a great book. Let's see, I've got it on my shelf somewhere, but I got it from a retired SAR major who used to work at the unit and then actually worked at the White House for a number of years. It's called Leadership and Self-Deception. It's an excellent book by the Arbinger Institute, Leadership and Self-Deception. What happens is, so they did a study of like 10,000 executives and they said, okay, rate yourself where you're at in the company. 90% of the executives rated themselves in the top 5% of this company. This one company had all these thousands of executives, and they ranked them all. Well, you can't have 90% of your executives in the top 5% of the company, right? The math doesn't work. So a lot of times leaders have a higher perception of themselves than is accurate. And so, and this is one thing that I talk to a lot about with leaders is I have them write down the areas that they know the most about. And I have them write all those different areas down. Oh, I know a lot about leadership. I know a lot about emotional intelligence. I know a lot about strategies and systems and processes, whatever, right? Whatever the lists are. And then I said, look, okay, now look at that list. And I said, if I asked you to do a 30-minute or an hour presentation right now off the top, could you talk about those areas? Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. I'll crush it. Okay, now here's the slippery slope. Every single one of those areas that you wrote down, those are also the areas that you're probably the least teachable in. The areas that we think we know the most about are also the areas that we are the least teachable in. So be careful, right? Because if God's trying to teach you something in an area to get you dialed in even more, and you have all these walls up, well, Nate, man, you can't teach me about EQ, bro, because I'm the EQ gangster, man, right? That's what goes before the fall? Pride. Right. So anyway, leaders, there's a lot of leaders who think they don't have, you know, a lot to work on, but really do have a lot to work on. And I think that a lot of them, once they kind of hear and understand the concept of emotional intelligence, what I have experienced personally is that after they learn about it, right, then they are very willing to embark on their growth journey. Because here's what's powerful about EQ, Nate, is that it doesn't just make them a better executive, a better leader, a better decision maker. It also makes them a better spouse, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better father, a better mother. It helps both professionally and personally.
Yeah. And it's so important with what you just communicated. And that's the whole reason why my work is so, so critical this whole idea of being able to take the believer and ask the question of, do you believe? Yes. Okay. Do you then recognize that you are an heir? Life is rich means I live in fullness every day because I realize I am Christ's heir. That means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. But as an heir, we got to understand that we already have it all. Our Father owns everything, so we're entitled to it. But our responsibility is that we must grow our capacity, because no good parent is going to release those things to us without us showing ourselves approved, without us being responsible, without us being able. So I would say, be wary of that person that isn't willing to grow. Be wary of that person that is not a continual student. The word Kaizen, continuous improvement. If you don't have that, well, you already have blind spots. And I say that right there is, again, a mark of humility. You can know what you know, but don't ever be resistant to the fact that you're a product of the of your experiences and those things you've been exposed to. When I came through as an enlisted soldier at 18 and I'm in Germany, I read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and it forever changed my life. It was my first exposure to Malcolm X, and then it took me into this path of consuming all Malcolm X, such that I became somewhat of an expert during my time. In fact, that gave me my oomph. That gave me my foundation. It gave me the realization of really all that I was from an inside out perspective. I didn't stop though with his experiences early on. I carried my studies all the way through his exposure to new information when he got exposure to the trip to Mecca. And he in turn saw people that came from various parts of the world that didn't look like him, that counteracted all that he had learned from the information that he gained from the person that was teaching him. And he took this new information and he adopted that new information and he made the shift because he said, this is new information. So that right there is an example of things that are important to me about the importance of leaders. Being able to recognize that we don't know it all. We do the very best with the information that we have, but if we remain out open and receptive to information and then let truth always be the thing that stands out, then brother, if we can do that, if we can impact that, then that means we're going to impact the world.
Yeah, 100%. I love that, Nate. The difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset, and I agree. I think for me, you know, the definition of leadership is you gotta have a growth mindset as a leader. You gotta be, if you think you've arrived as a leader, man, I want to be very cautious of following you if you're not, you know, if you're not continuing to work on yourself. So I think that growth mindset is so huge. The Kaizen mind, you know, concept of continuous improvement is super powerful. Humility, it takes humility. And then I also think another thing is, it takes emotional agility. If you are emotionally rigid and emotionally fixed and emotionally immature, it can be tough to pivot. And it can be tough. I know for me, when I was super low EQ, I had very little emotional bandwidth. And as I've gotten healthier emotionally, my emotional agility and my emotional bandwidth and capacity has increased. Now, I still have a lot of work to do, a lot of room to grow. I'm still very much on my emotional growth journey. But for sure, it has grown tremendously as a result of the emotional growth that I've done. But I love what you're sharing there about, you know, about that humility and willingness to grow and change, man. 100% agree. That's awesome.
How has your change in your awareness impacted your relationship with your wife?
Oh, man. Oh, bro, that is a whole episode. So we're doing a 5-day free Tame Your Triggers challenge. And I'm just sharing over the course of this week, these 5 days, the process that I've used to reduce my triggers, the frequency of my triggers by 90-95% and reduce the intensity of my triggers by 90-95%. And so that right there has been a massive area of growth for me, because I would go Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde at the drop of a hat. I'd go from Bruce Banner to Incredible Hulk in 0.3 seconds because I had no self-awareness and no self-management. And so imagine if you're living with Incredible Hulk, imagine the emotional consequences of being married to Incredible Hulk, not knowing when, how often I'm gonna turn into the Hulk right now, right? So my wife, it created a lot of, literally it created some PTSD for her because, you know, at the drop of a hat, you know, I would immediately start flipping out, and you know, just it was incredibly unsafe. I was emotionally unpredictable. I was emotionally unstable. It created a fear, a deep anxiety in her because, you know, she didn't know what she was going to be dealing with, not from one day to the next, but from one hour to the next, right? So it was bad. It was, she's an amazing lady, man. What I've put her through during my low EQ years, for sure.
Got it. Thank you for sharing that. That's important again, because again, there's a reward at the end of making the shift. And really the thing I wanted everyone to understand that the work that you do, it comes with a benefit at the end. And you don't even know that. But if you can set your mind on that in the future, what you truly desire, it goes back to what I said about this identity, especially for 2022. I want everyone to really be asking yourself, what is it that you truly desire? And then what identity must you assume in order to bring that about? What is it that you truly desire, and what identity must you assume in order to bring that about? I talk about who you be versus what you do, because most people are trying to do in order to have, in order to then become. I talk about being, because we're not human doings. We're human beings. And when you can get to your authentic self and truly get to an understanding of who you are and whose you are, well, then that then creates opportunities for alignment before assignment. Alignment before assignment. And from there, when you know what you value, decisions are easy. When you know what you value, decisions are easy. I'm excited to see that you have some big, hairy, audacious goals. You want to increase your coaching hours to 20 hours per week. You want to get 1,000 members into your EQ Mafia membership. And you want to expand your coaching clients to professional athletes. If there was one thing that I and others could do to assist you in accomplishing that which you desire, what would that be?
Wow, that's a great question, Nate. I'd say pray for me, right? That, you know, that would be one thing is pray that I can, you know, John 3:30 says, you know, I pray, Lord, that you would increase and that I would decrease, that in the pursuit of God's will for my life, that I also don't get in the way. And so, you know, just prayer would be one thing, but then also if folks, either for their company, right, they want training or anything on emotional intelligent leadership, or if they want coaching, or if they want, you know, to increase their own individual emotional fitness program and level up their emotional fitness program, you know, to check out the EQ Mafia. But I would say that, you know, the big thing is just, you know, the prayers and stuff and that kind of thing. But how about you? How could I support you, Nate? What could I do to add value to what you're doing?
Well, the first thing you could do is allow me to give you some feedback of what you just said.
Please.
Okay. I need you to step into the ask, because the reality is that prayer is already done. God has already given you the assignment. There's no more prayer that you have to get from other people. He's positioned you today with an answer to a prayer. Because God moves through people to deliver those things in which he already has set aside for you. All you have to do is walk it out. You and I connecting like this was an answer to a prayer. So right now, what I'm doing is responding in obedience to that which God has given to me to give to you. So my heart's desire for you right now in this moment is to lean into that, to lean into being very specific and intentional, because you've got something of value. Yeah. So when you have something of value, there's no need to be timid, because there are lives that are impacted by your message. Your message matters. Your message matters. Your message matters. There are platforms that you must go to and ask to step onto, and you don't need to be timid about it. One of the things I recognize so often by people, especially when I see people within the military world, is that this concern about asking for and, you know, doing. And I'm like, I don't get it. And it's a bolt of the culture, because it's a culture oftentimes that is very much groupthink, and a culture in which people don't want to stand out because people didn't want to talk about it. But I'm saying to you, there's a call on your life. There is something that God has given to you that leaders need to step into. You are a leader that must step into that which God has given to you, because you're not doing it for your own purposes. You're doing it for his purposes.
Yeah.
So I want you to be encouraged by that. I want you to know that one way that you have served me is by me giving this, because as a strategic leadership coach, my desire is to enhance the lives of 20,000 people by 2024. Hmm. And I'm going to do that by doing it through leaders who actually want to impact 500. So for example, I want to help 40 women who have a desire to impact 500 in their respective area, be it spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, physical, or financial. You, for example, have an emotional section. So my heart's desire is to now make sure that this, which I'm doing, my platform, OPS, Other People's Stage, by bringing you onto my stage, to be able to now push you forward to those who actually need it. You see, if we start operating collaboratively and recognizing each other's unique stories and understanding the heart of the people in which we engage with, alignment before assignment, then there's nothing that we won't be able to accomplish. I am in the season now of saying, God, this vision which you've given to me is bigger than me. I don't know how I'm going to enhance the lives of 3,500 people by April 30th, but I'm trusting you, and I'm going to act in obedience. I'm going to follow suit. When you tell me to go, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go by simply serving people with my strategic leadership coaching. So what you can do for me, Noble, is just know the story, and more importantly, know the man, such that in turn, you go forth. You know, there's the butler and always the baker. There's always a butler that brings a man or woman into that place that they couldn't have come into by themselves. And there's the baker that will serve them even in the dungeon and bring food to them, that provides sustenance during that time in which they're there to give them sustainability, because the provisions are already made. But I'm in the season now for my plan of focusing on three areas of sales and marketing. My SAM, I'm married to SAM, and I'm going to do it through OPSs, Other People's Stages, Champions, where I'm going to have those one-on-ones with people and say, hey, all I ask you to do is get to know, like, trust, and respect me. And if you value what I'm giving, then all I'm asking you is just let others know, because it's better served for me to speak one-to-many versus one-to-one. And then I'm going to leverage my podcast for the purposes of elevating others who touch and agree with me, so that we can collectively serve a greater population. And so you're my EQ guy. Though I can talk about it, I'm looking to assimilate that mastermind. If you think about Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, and we think about the mastermind concept, specialized knowledge we can go get from anywhere. You got the specialized knowledge, but together, if we can put those pieces in place, then that means more people are going to be served. And so this does my heart amazingly great. Classmates, 1996, known each other since 1992, to be able to come together in this this type of a forum to be able to have a shared experience, to be able to lead and to be able to provide just goodness and positivity and impact, not rah-rah and fluff, but real substance, is so important. And that whole experience with network marketing, I'm gonna tell you, for me, I'm glad that you shared that. And I think there's a responsibility that, that guys like you and I who've had experiences to be able to stand in the gap for those that don't ever have the experiences and to tell them the truth, not one side, but not have people running around in fear because of lack of knowledge. I think about the fact that as God would have it for me, July 8, 2015, as I was leaving LA Fitness, I passed a pink Cadillac. I didn't see the person driving it. I recognized the vehicle as a status symbol. I pulled on the side of the road and she drove by, flagged it down. I gave her a copy of my book. I said, here, read this and get any value from the paper later. She went left. I went right. She contacted me on July 26, telling me she'd read it. She shared with 30 of her directors. They all wanted it. From there, she asked me to do a conference call with 200 of her ladies. I said, bring the husbands on. After that, she asked me to do a live event. And then she paid $4,500 working for 90 days as her coach. We developed a friendship. I gave her some recommendations that in turn were for her total well-being on the wellness side. She took my recommendation because I wasn't trying to get her into something. She, in turn, we developed a relationship. Her father passed in January of cancer, and we married July 2nd, 2016, less than a year of meeting at the stop sign. God gave me a wife that, in turn, was the answer to the plan that he had already laid out for me. Because when I had my daughter Nadia in 2004, with her birth, I said, I would commit my life to leading women, sowing seeds into women, because if something ever were to happen to me, i.e. that 19-year-old experience in Desert Storm, if something were to ever happen to me, I would have had sown enough seeds into the lives of women such that she'd have role models that I want her to follow. And that in turn, lo and behold, God would give me an amazing wife, Andrea C. Scott, who's the youngest Black woman in the history of Mary Kay Cosmetics to be a national sales director. She's the 17th woman of color in the history of the company to be a national sales director. She's the only national sales director ever in the state of Florida. And when she hired me, I asked her, did she want a legacy? She said, yes. I said, you can't do that in that model. 20 years in the company at the very top, seven-figure earner. And I'm saying as a stranger, your goal won't be met with that model. And so she had to make a shift. She had to make a change. But her change wasn't based upon God taking away from her. Because God then said, listen, daughter, I allow you to make the top at 36 so that you can have the time frame to then close the gap to meet your husband. And he can then in turn give you information so that you didn't lose anything. So that when you retired with all of your benefits. And you're able to retire younger than anyone else has ever done so because you had counsel that was able to give you the right information, and you're able to take that information and go forth and serve people on a whole different level because you got the experience and the experience of having it from the top to know what you didn't know and realize where there were some gaps that you would do over if you had an opportunity to. And that's where we're at right now. The 2-year non-compete just ended. And so we're now in a season now, we're going forth to build an army of people that can leverage my professional background, the dollars and cents, the leadership, and tap into my resources of people like yourself, so that in turn, we make people whole and be kingdom builders, because we're kingdom entrepreneurs. So that's what's going on in my world, brother. And like I said, I just want to hug your neck. I just want to stay close and say, we have an assignment together that we're uniquely qualified to engage on. And the world needs leadership. And the world needs people like you and I that are foundation built off of character, who can look to their right and left and say, I can count on that person right there. And their yeas is their yeas and their nays is their nays. Character-based leadership. And but I'm for you. I'm 100% for you.
Nate, that's amazing, bro. Thank you for sharing all that, man. That's incredible. Thank you for all of that. Your transparency, and again, your, you know, just sharing your story of how you met your wife and how God worked. That's an incredible story, amazing story. And then your vision, you know, your vision, both of your, you know, your vision for how you're going to change the world, man. I love that. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah. So it's like I said, man, heavy, you know, it doesn't come without the work with when God gives you something. But when he does it in a big way.
That's right.
And if you're confident in his word, and you are take yourself out of the equation, mm-hmm. then it's amazing things that happen that you could only say it wasn't me.
That's right. That's
right. That's right. It wasn't me.
That's right.
You know, so with Noble, like I said, brother, I'm delighted to get this out. Please give them the location of how they can follow you, connect with you, request you. What would be the best? And I'll be dropping it also in the written when I publish the podcast as well. But if you would, where's your site, or where's the best way to connect?
Sure. So it's eqgangster.com is the website. EQGangster on Facebook, on Instagram, podcast, YouTube channel. It's just EQGangster is the best way to get a hold of me.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, brother, I look forward to us doing something together. And like I said, we may need to push. I'm not trying to do another book, but I might be inspired to do something with the things that I think we have together, put together. So,
thank you, Nate. Thank you, man. Such a pleasure. Thank you for your time, your wisdom, your iron sharpening. Proverbs 27:17. I really appreciate it. So great reconnecting with you, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But brother, I'm going to shut this one down. Guys, I hope you guys have enjoyed this opportunity just to see some old classmates, friends, and hope you guys got extreme value from today. I'm going to sign off right now. But until next time, this is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what did you like best about what you heard? One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.